mention one thing about this third assumption. Underlying asset not held for consumption, use, and production. Here's a nice way to think about this. When you buy an asset, what do you get out of it? First, if you hold it, you're going to be able to sell it in the future, and whatever the underlying asset price in the future is what you're going to get. So that was our General Motors stock. You buy it, you get the price of General Motors stock in the future. You also get any payouts over the time you hold it. So that's two things. But there's a third thing that you can get. You wouldn't get it from General Motors stock, but you might get it if it was a bushel of wheat. You could, instead of waiting a pre-specified delivery date, you might want to sell that in the middle of the period. It may be that that's a better thing for you to do than to hold it all the way to the end. There's a story in the Bible. Joseph goes to Egypt. Pharaoh has some dreams, and Joseph says there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of drought where there will be no harvests. Pharaoh believes him and stores 7 years of wheat. That was the time when it was a good idea to hold the wheat. And then after the 7 years of plenty, then there were 7 years of fallow. That was the time when you needed to let the wheat out of the warehouse so you could feed people. So the ability to decide how long you want to hold something, when you want to use it for consumption, that can be worth something too. And some assets have that additional value to them. Now, a stock doesn't, because you don't eat stock, but wheat would. So whenever you look at futures contracts on underlying assets used for consumption or production purposes, that will mean this analysis won't work completely. And the reason is, this analysis is based on what? Look at it right here. Buy one unit of the underlying asset. Here's the key. What does it say over here you get out of this? In this case, I think we have no payouts. So normally there would be payouts in here too. What you get out of it is the underlying asset price in the future. We're ignoring any possibility of getting something different here, because maybe it pays to consume the asset early. That would be an additional complication we're not considering, and that interferes with this conclusion. It doesn't interfere with it for an index or a stock or a currency or even fixed income securities, but it would if our underlying asset could be consumed or used in production. And it's argued later that for gold and silver, there really isn't a lot of use of it relative to world inventories for consumption or production purposes, so that effect is very small for those assets. But for other assets like oil or wheat, it can be quite substantial and can, as we'll see, create the inversion we're talking about, where the longer term forward or futures contracts can actually have lower forward or futures prices than the shorter term ones. Yes?
So you're saying if I bought this asset using the replicating portfolio approach, what I could do is I could maybe somewhere before the delivery date, there's a run on cotton, and I can go ahead and...
It's not so much a run on cotton. People realize there isn't going to be much cotton later.
I can take advantage of the...
there will be a lot of cotton later, so there's a run on whatever stores are available now. That would be the scenario.
So I can take advantage of a high price before the delivery.
Yeah, so in that case, anyone who bought this would be able to do better than this. And that's what we're not considering. If it's stock, it doesn't really matter where you sell it in here. Because the present value, suppose I were to sell it here. I'm not using it for consumption or production. But say I sold it. And you say, well, how come you didn't consider the possibility you could sell it in here? So the present value of the asset here doesn't really depend on when I'm planning to sell it. But wheat and oil are different. This is an important economic idea. Almost all textbooks on this subject just don't really make this clear. Maybe I haven't either. Keep in your mind, this third assumption is stated here very carefully. Yes?
Is it also just like related to the seasonality?
Right. Seasonality would be important. If you have an asset with a seasonal demand that has to be consumed now, consumed using production, then this analysis wouldn't hold. There's another consideration we'd have to add.